I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you heard me pray. I just want to thank you for always being there when I was so down and out. You came along, made me wanna shout. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If I had a thousand lives to live, I'd give them all to my Lord. He's been so good to me. That is the least I could afford. He's made the good times outnumber the bad. He's been the best friend I've ever had. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you heard me pray. I just want to thank you for always being there when I was so down and out. You came along, made me want to shout. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Welcome to Cowboy Church. It's good to be here. It's good to be amongst people. It's good to be expectantly awaiting his return. It's an amazing thing. You know, I was reading an article this week, and the fellow who was writing the post was saying that he figured that people who are Christians, who are indwelt by God's Spirit, have a little bit different outlook on the way the world goes. And he figured that God's Spirit inside of a person gave them a much higher sensitivity to the wrongness and the nastiness and the out of placeness of some of the things that happen in the world. Even people without God's Spirit know when something terrible happens or when something really egregiously wrong occurs. But it seems like people who are indwelt by God's Spirit are continually being given this feeling of wrongness and of injustice, of just the cross-grainedness of some of the things that happen in the world, and he figured that that sense of wrongness was one of the things that gave us such a keen anticipation for the return of our Lord. And it wasn't just a need to escape from the things that are happening in this world, but just the anticipation of things being made right, that was where the blessing of knowing that our Savior was coming and was coming soon. We're going to read from Scripture to start off, and I'm going to have you turn, if you have your Bible with you, to Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 9. And we're going to start on verse 23, and we're going to read on to the end. So again, if you have your Bible with you, it's in Hebrews, which is in the New Testament, chapter 9, and we're starting with verse 23. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these. And he's speaking of the blood sacrifices and whatnot. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Let's pray. If you would bow your heads. Father God, I thank you for that provision, that ultimate sacrifice that our Savior made so long ago on that hill, so far away. We thank you, God, for the blood that was spilt. Lord, for our Savior who gave his life, that we might enjoy communion with you. We thank you, Lord, for this great salvation, and Lord, for calling us to be your sons and daughters, for providing that way, and for bringing us in to your presence. We thank you, God, that we can gather here tonight, that you have given us in this time and place, Lord, a sanctuary, a place of refuge, Lord, that you have given us the freedom in this land to worship you, to come together as your body, and to celebrate your great salvation. I thank you, God, for everyone you have brought here tonight to do that with us. And I pray, God, that you would open our hearts and our minds to the remembrance of you and to the preaching of your word. We thank you, Lord, for Pastor Ken Stumpf, who brings your word to us tonight. And we pray that you would anoint him and bless him as he preaches. We pray that you would have your hand upon every part of this service, that you would be lifted up and glorified. Lord, that you would be blessed tonight, that your gospel would be proclaimed. We thank you, Lord, and we pray all these things for your glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Nice.
I was just reminded as I was sitting beside Annette and she was fanning me with her fan. I think the hottest place I ever preached in was in Jamaica. And the roofs there, you have no insulation, you just have a tin roof. And we preach usually two or three services a day. In the evening service, you were like preaching in a barbecue. And in those days, you had to wear tie, suit, dressed right up. And you know it's hot when you feel the water running down the back of your leg. It's like God is, you're being held over hell and you're preaching with everything you have. So this is really comfortable in here tonight. The word we're going to look at, this series that I'm going to start tonight, the word all. Can you all say all? All. This is the series that we're going to do on one word. The word all. The word all, if you'd look up the definition in the word all, it means exactly that. All. Everything. And it encompasses everything. The word all is used in the Bible 5,620 times. So it's an important word. So tonight we're going to start this series where you find the word all for the first time. And then we'll conclude this series where we find it at the end of the Bible. Now, some of you theologians here, you might do some checking and find where the last all is used in the Bible. So between now And then we're going to look at the word all. As we pick up on this, our opening text tonight, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. So for each one of us tonight, you're saying, well, what would all have to do with me tonight? Stay with me. You're going to get in this message here somewhere. Every one of us will be in this message somewhere tonight. I like this a bit of a example of all. Now, looking at the crowd here, most of you would remember the states. I don't see anybody here that was born after this date, but if you are, praise God, you're here. From 1983 to 1987, there was an action TV series. It was created, but unrealistic in its action sequences. But it was still a huge success. It was called The A-Team. It was a little far out there, but it was fun to watch. A four-man group of ex-mercenary soldiers who got rid of the bad guys every week, destroyed them every week. The leader of this band of brothers was a cigar-chomping man with a plan called Lieutenant Colonel John Hannibal Smith. The colonel set the tone for the whole series, and his famous words were always, "I love it when all the plan comes together." Sometimes you can still watch the old series on the YouTube. It's a little out there. But at that time, back in 83 and 87, it was pretty exciting stuff on TV if you got to watch the A-Team. So it was always excited when at the end of it, the show and all of the stuff they put together, it all came together. So tonight we're going to look at this word all. We're going to start in the Old Testament and we'll end up in the New Testament. But I'm going to take you right now to Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 7. If you're following along, Exodus 20. Now, most of you are very familiar with these scripture verses, but I'm going to give it to you for a reason, because I'm laying the basis for the rest of the message. They always say when you're preparing a message, you're supposed to have a good takeoff, level out, and then land. So right now we're still taking off, so just stay with me, okay? Fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. Exodus 20, starting in chapter 1. Now, God is giving instructions to the Israelites when they've come out of Egypt, and this is how you're supposed to live your lives. This is the moral law. Not that you could keep the law, but it's the moral law of how to live your life. So starting on verse 1, Exodus chapter 20, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." You know, I just want to stop there just for a minute. Years ago, I heard Oprah. Is there anyone here who hasn't heard of Oprah? She was attending her Baptist church. And God, the speaker, the pastor that day, said that God is a jealous God. Her own testimony says, "I cannot serve a jealous God," and she walked out of the church that day and has not been back. And what God is she serving today? Yeah. She's not serving a living God. She's made unto herself, actually a God herself. But God is a jealous God. He is a jealous God. If you interpret that wrong, he loves us. He wants time with us. I don't have a problem with a jealous God. Because that means he cares for me. See how we can take God's word and misinterpret it and take it and run off in a direction that God does not want us to go? That's exactly what that woman did. Turned her back on God. Jealous God, visiting iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations and those who hate me. Here it is. Excuse me, the sins of the father are through the third and fourth generation, but here it is. The blessings are to 1,000 generations. I don't know about you, but I want my family to be blessed. I want the blessings of God. And the sins of the father to the third and fourth generation, it can be stopped. All we as men have to do is just, that's enough. Go the other direction. Repent for the sake of the generations that will come behind us. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You know, today in the world that we're living in, it is just, I don't know what it is, but out of men, it said, actually the word says, out of men's mouths in the end days will come nothing but cursing. We live across from the LRT station in Bonnie Doon. And I'm telling you, the words you hear coming out of that place, I would like to take a bar of soap and do a cleanup. I'm saying, does anybody know English today? Do you know English? Can you speak to me in English, please? It's just like, out of men's mouths come cursing. But you know what? I want you all to be friends with me tonight when we leave here, okay? But you know, it's even worse when a woman swears. I'm sorry, ladies, it really gets me. When you go to a ball game, it used to be, they'd say to the men, don't swear, the women and children are here. What do you say to a woman? Watch out, the men are here, keep it down. Are you kidding me? Out of men's mouths will come nothing but cursing in the end days. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And you shall not do any work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And this is the fourth one, is the one that comes with a promise. It's the only one of the commandments that comes with a promise. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. No matter what your parents are or have done, we still are to honor them. Honor your parents. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And I included on this list, I'm not supposed to covet Don Schultz's Mustang. I'm working on it, Don. Whatever your neighbor has, you're not supposed to covet it. Come on. We all have done it, and we all do it. Do not covet. I just want to clarify two words here. In a minute, I'll look at them a little closer. The two words, idolatry and adultery. We're going to have a closer look at them in just a moment. But I'm going to take you now from the Old Testament, the law, the moral law that Moses gave the Israelites, and this is how they were to live their lives. But could they keep the law? No. It didn't matter how many animals they sacrificed for their sins, they could not keep the law because the Spirit was not there to give them the strength to live a godly life. So now we're going to have the Spirit help us. Aren't you glad we're getting there? Here we go. Galatians. This is where the Spirit comes in. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 5. Now here's the meat of this. Thank you for staying this long, but we're getting to the meat here. Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, here it is, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When the Holy Spirit comes in you, you'll receive power, dunamis, power. You'll be able to stand against the flesh. You know, every day we get up, we're in a war. If you don't realize this, we are in a battle for our very lives between our old nature in us and the Spirit that has come in when you ask Jesus to come into your heart. The Spirit has come in and taken up residence in your life. But there's a battle against the flesh and the Spirit. Can I have just a weak amen? I just want to make sure you're still all with me. I'll repeat that one more time. There's a battle between the flesh and the Spirit who dwells in you. Amen. Thank you for that. 17, verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You know, when you invited Jesus Christ into your life and you became a born-again believer, you think the devil just kind of, oh, well, he belongs to Jesus now. Praise God. Are you kidding me? He's going to do double time on you. I thought when I got older, the devil would leave me alone. White hair don't mean nothing to him. Nor does baldness. Don't mean nothing. In fact, I find the older I get, and especially sometimes if the doctors put you on some type of medication and your thinking isn't the way it should be, it seems like, do you know how many people I've sat and prayed with in long term or in the hospital, and they're well up on the years. They've served Jesus for 70 years, 80 years. And they say, Pastor, can you pray with me? I'm not sure that I'm still saved. There's still a battle raging. And the old devil will not give up. He will not. That old flesh in us, it's still going on. And when you pray, that peace that passes all understanding comes into that room. We're going to talk about that peace in just a moment. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are, here it is, evident. Here's the works of the flesh, just in case you don't know what the flesh does. I'm going to give you a refresher course, not that you need it, but here it is. Which are idolatry. Idolatry means having a relationship with somebody else's husband or somebody else's wife. That is idolatry. Fornication means having sexual relationships and you're not married. Outside of marriage. Uncleanness, lewdness. Lewdness means sexual activity that is ungodly. Now here's the word idolatry. Idolatry means worshiping other gods, other things of the world that get your interest. So there's a difference between idolatry, is sexual, idolatry is worshiping the things of this world, something contrary to what God wants you to worship. Sorcery, here's a good one. What is sorcery? Sorcery is encouraging activity with demons. The greatest source of sorcery over the years originally came out of Egypt, where they would worship reptiles and all different things like that, and they would have a demonic influence. The other one that was really another country where demonic activity came out of, believe it or not, was India. There was a lot of demonic activity came out of the different gods of India. And sorcery is when you call on the demonic and it is alive and active. It is. It will come. My wife and I, Annette and I, have been involved in many cases in situations where there was demonic activity. Years ago, I remember a young couple had bought a new home, and they had one child, a little girl, and when they moved into the home, they put her in her bedroom, in her crib, and she would not sleep in there. She would just cry all the time. She was scared. So Annette and I, over the years, have done this many times. We went in and met the couple, talked about it. We went into the little girl's room. We prayed over the rooms. Because Jesus said, I give you authority to cast out demons, to see the dead raised, and to see the sick healed. So you can walk in that authority. That comes from God himself. Prayed through the room. We came back out in the kitchen. We sat down in the kitchen. They had a little dog, and that little dog, all of a sudden, is looking at the living room and barking at the living room. I'll tell you, make the hair stand up in the back of your neck. There was something in that house before. You don't know whether it was drugs. Maybe somebody had even been molested or raped in there, or drug addiction. There was a demonic activity in that house, and the dog saw it. So we sat around that table, Annette and I and that young couple, and we took hands and we said, in the name of Jesus, we take authority of this darkness in this place and we bind it. It has no right to be here, and you have to now leave in the name of Jesus. All of a sudden, that little dog came over with his tail wagging. He sat down beside us. Whatever was there was gone. They said that little girl from then on slept every night. Is there demonic activity? Yes. That doesn't mean I go around and go, whoa, I wonder where they're hiding in here tonight. No. That's foolishness. But I'll tell you, when the time comes and you need to deal with something, you have been given the authority in the name of Jesus, and you can do that. And you should do it. But you make sure you have that prayer covering and that you're not flying solo. Because remember, the sons of Sceva, when they went in, they were going to do some casting in Paul's name, and how did they came ripping out of that house with no clothes on. You better be careful what you're doing. Be careful. Don't go, whoa, I'm going in here and I'm going to fix it. Hang on. You might be streaking with no clothes on, you come out of there. I'm telling you, it's serious stuff. It's really, really serious stuff. Let's continue on. Hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Verse 21, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those, now this is serious stuff here, don't miss this verse, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is a sobering thought. Anyone who's working in these areas in the flesh, you need to repent and turn and say, Lord, I'm never going back there. Because I want to spend eternity with you. I want to inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, and here it is. The fruit of the Spirit. Now this is talking about the Spirit again. The fruit of the Spirit. Here it is. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those are the things, the fruit of the Spirit, that's what our lives are to look like. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, whatever we're walking through, whatever form that may come, the one thing that needs to be always evident in your life, and only the Holy Spirit can help you with it, is that inner joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. You need the joy of the Lord. It doesn't matter how different. Yea, though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Even on your worst day, you need the joy of the Lord. And you've got to get that down inside of you. The joy of the Lord. If you're here tonight and you don't have the joy of the Lord, I pray that you will before you leave here tonight. You need the joy of the Lord. Say, Lord, I need that joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. The half has never yet been told. Just, oh man, I'm just getting ready to dance up here. Do you feel it? The joy of the Lord, glory. That is the Spirit of God in your life. The joy of the Lord. In the end days, the Word says there's going to be a spirit, a deceiving spirit, a spirit of deception. That spirit that deceived when Satan deceived Eve and said, would a loving God really say that you shouldn't eat this beautiful fruit? Come on, Eve. A loving God would never say that. And that's the same thing today. There's a lying, deceiving spirit. It says in the end days, many will be deceived. So you be very careful. You make sure that you're walking with the Lord and that you have put your hand in His hand, and He's promised He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I want to give you a story of deception. I mean, today, it seems like everybody's getting scammed. You know, when your cell goes off and it says it's the federal government, you owe some taxes. You better push that delete so fast. Maybe some of you have been scammed here. And some not only scammed, I've known some people got scammed at least 3 times by the same people. It just kept, they kept talking to them. Some drivers in Kansas received text messages last fall telling them that they had not paid a Kansas turnpike toll. There's, as you know, there's states in the United States. We used to have it on the Coquihalla Highway that you used to have to pay a toll. I don't believe it's there anymore. But there's many places in the states you have a toll that you have to pay before you get through. The official logo of the Kansas Turnpike Authority was included on the text, and a message said it was a final reminder regarding the unpaid toll. But it was all a scam, a deception. The devil was a deceiver from the beginning, and he still is today. As we conclude this part in Galatians, picking up on verse 24, but those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Wow. I'm dead to sin. Those things that I used to do, I ain't doing anymore. Have I arrived yet? Are there some days that I don't do as well as I should? Yes. But I tell you, I know where I'm going. I'm heaven bound. Amen. And I pray that every one of you will be there with us when we go. Pray that you're with us. But that's your call. I can't do that for you. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh in his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You walk in the Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You know, I used to sing that chorus over and over. This generation today, I don't think they probably even know it. But come, Holy Spirit. I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thy own special way. That's where it is, guys. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. I need you every day. I can't live on what happened to me 30, 40, 50 years ago. I need you today. Because that old flesh ain't giving up. The deceiver of my soul, he's still after me. I like what Corrie Ten Boom said. When the devil comes knocking on your door, you send Jesus to answer it. I'll tell you, Jesus will lay a licking on him. He beat him at the cross. Amen. Send Jesus to the door. And we conclude with this verse here, Romans 15:13. And most of you would know this one off by heart. And here's the last all for this session. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. I pray that that joy somehow by the Holy Spirit has somehow touched you tonight. That joy that only the Holy Spirit can put there. I don't care how many programs you take or whatever classes you attend, you can't get that joy unless it's the Holy Spirit has put it there. Jesus said, I must go that the Comforter would come, and the Holy Spirit is here taking up residence in your lives. Praise God for that. We're going to prepare now for communion. And before we do that, I want to read a scripture verse. And then those that are helping will come forward. But this one you know off by heart. It's Revelation 3:20. And Jesus said, for lo, I stand at the door and knock, and anyone hear my voice, he will open, and I'll come in and fellowship with him and he with me. See, the doorknob's on your side. Jesus won't force his way in anybody's life here tonight. He's knocking. He's knocking on your heart right now. And every one of us here at some point should have opened that door. If you haven't, tonight I encourage you, open that door and say, dear Jesus, come in. I need you. I can't live in this world without you. So as Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, he won't force his way in. You have to open that door. And my prayer is, and our prayer for you tonight, is that everyone here has done that. And if you haven't, I pray before the evening's out, you will. Can you receive the blessing now? And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord's countenance be upon you and give you peace and joy unspeakable. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen.
I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you heard me pray. I just want to thank you for always being there when I was so down and out. You came along, made me want to shout. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If I had 1,000 lives to live, I'd give them all to my Lord. He's been so good to me. That is the least I could afford. He's made the good times outnumber the bad. He's been the best friend I've ever had. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you heard me pray. I just want to thank you for always being there when I was so down and out. You came along, made me want to shout. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you.